halacha that we did not discuss, which is going to bring us back to the issues that we had raised about mixing of lila abba. Be'er halacha appears in Shukhaf Aleph Tezvah, the Ramaskal Yochel Arba. And over there, the Mechaber is discussing Chardol. And the Mechaber says, based on the Gemara on Kuf Mem, Chardol Shaloshom Erev Shabbos, if you have mustard that had already been mixed on Erev Shabbos, Ramacha Yochel Arba, so next day you're allowed to, when we say mixed, it means water has been added to it on Erev Shabbos. The next day you're allowed to mix it, Heim Biyad, Heim Bikli, the Nosan Selchot Vash, you should be careful not to mix it strongly, but if you mix it in a way that is soft, the Mishnah Berurah explains at the end of Sivkot and Nunches, already on page 300. That's what it means, ma'at ma'at, to do it ma'at ma'at. Different than ma'at ma'at that we've discussed previously. And the Be'er Halacha asks a very important question. It's a similar type of question that we saw the Be'er Halacha asked in Dibur Maskil Shema Yavo on page 298. The Be'er Halacha once again asks how these shinuyim could be matir in Isur D'Oraisa. He asks, "Ube'emes tzarich iyun gadol." Is that four lines from the bottom on page 299? Hey, chitiru Chazal etzem hagibul du Isur D'Oraisa. How is it the Chazal were matir this type of gibul al yedei shinu hamuad da'inu she'en etareif bekach? This small shinui that you're not toreaf bekach, that's going to be enough to create a heter. And the Be'er Halacha is bothered, just like the Be'er Halacha was bothered on 298, Yiram Aslo Shem Yavo, how ma'at ma'at could be matir and yisudor reis when it came to kemach kali. So too, kemach kali, yeah. So too, over here, he's bothered. How could it be that by simply mixing it softly, that would be enough to be matir the Isur D'Oraisa of Lisha. And the Be'er Halacha comes along, and he likes his kasha so much, he says the only way he could explain chardel and this heter of being toreif, the nachas, is to entirely reread the Gemara. Zok de'helege Be'er Halacha, page 300, we're skipping, of course, to his teretz. V'lulei demistafina, five lines from the top. V'lulei demistafina avamina kipshuto demayri shechardol nilush b'mod yom, that the chardol was mixed on Friday. V'chein b'masha omer shechlaim sheshachna mayri gamken shenilush b'mod yom. By the way, shechlaim is crest. Now we all know exactly what it means. Okay, that's how Jastro translates it. I'm not sure what it means practically in our terms. But shechlaim sheshachna mayri gamken shenilush b'mod yom. Okay, so it's already been mixed, entirely mixed, before Shabbos. Continues the Be'er Halacha, seven lines on the top in 300. El al yidei dahak var nilosh ve'em yapa ba michol alisha. El al yidei ha michoi shemachay lachardol osa zachardol raka ma'od. The Be'er Halacha says that this mixing actually is just taking it from a compound that already existed and making it more rach, more liquidy. Making it more liquidy. That's not going to be called Lisha. And the only problem to be Toref Bekoach is that it resembles Lisha. But really it's not Lisha at all. Now the Be'er Halacha is introducing us to a concept that the Chazon Ish really was the first one who crunched this concept in conceptual terms, and the Chazon Ish appears in Simin Nun Ches Os Zayin, where the Chazon Ish says in Dibar Maskel Kasav Od, where he says that any time the Lisha that you're doing, I'm reading him out of context, but it's two lines from the bottom in your booklet on page 168, about halfway through the booklet, the Chazon Ish is on 168. The word va'omnam is underlined three lines from the bottom in the second column, that the Chazon Ish says that shehamashka gorem tirud v'lo dibuk, then in such a case, that's not called lush. Anytime that your mixing is causing the compound to separate as opposed to join, so then in such a case, that's not going to be called lisha. So similarly, says the Be'er Halacha, and we're going to be working with this Be'er Halacha from the beginning to the end of this year. There's so many important points that come out. We're going to come back to some issues that we had raised earlier. But the first is what we would call Begeder Isur Lisha. In terms of the Geder of Lisha, Lisha is always when you're bringing the item together. You're bringing the dough together. The flour was separate pieces, and now you've attached them together. That's what Lisha is. So says the Be'er Halacha in our case, that with this chardel it's already been lush, and hafuch, when you're making it more raka, then in such a case, that's not going to be the Isser. So the Chazon Ish makes this point as well. In fact, if you take a look in the Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa, in his opening words for lush, he makes this point. And this point is going to stay with us. It's going to come with back and forth to us. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, let's see if it's in, if I photocopy this for you, in the booklet. Second to last page, Yashar Koach, right in the opening lines, says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, in Os Aleph, Yismalu Shlosha Tnoim, you need to fulfill three Tnoim when it comes to Lash. And what is Tnai number one? Sheyarkiv Shnei Gufim Nifradim Zeem Zeh. And that is to bring together two different things through Lisha. So anytime you're not doing that, then that's not going to qualify as Lush. Now this is quite a chidush, what the Be'er Halacha is saying. It's not the Pashtus of the Gemara in Chardel. It's quite a revolutionary way of understanding. The Pashtus is that Chardel is an Isur D'Oraisa. Although, I mentioned that Rav Yitzchak Shol Kanievsky also tries to advance a mahalach that chardel is only a derabbanan. But even if you're going to say the chardel is a derabbanan, to reread the Gemara entirely to have this new understanding of chardel is unique. But this is the mahalach of the Be'er Halacha. We're going to come back to the significance of this idea of mixing two things. Now, according to this Be'er Halacha, what emerges then is that any time you have a blila ava, he doesn't understand how a shinui of ma'at ma'at of benachas, presumably the same shesi va'arev, would work. And hence, I think that this is behind the psak that we learned last time from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And that is that we saw last time that when it comes to lichatchila on Shabbos, except for extreme cases, the halacha is that you need to have a blila raka, because a change in the shinui is not going to work on a blila ava, it's only going to work on a blila raka. Everybody follow that last point?
Yeah.
Should I repeat that again? Absolutely. Last time we had seen that there is a requirement when you have blila ava, is there a way that you're allowed to mix on Shabbos?
We saw exceptions.
Exceptions, but lechatchila, no. And blila raka, you need two shinuyim. Right? That's the basic. This is what we saw from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. That was his approach. There is, however, another approach. We attributed that to the Shita of the Trumas Hadeshen. However, there's another approach. Ramati pointed out to me that Reb Simcha Bonim Cohen, in his Sefer, Haskins against what we said from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which is in of itself a collector's item. And that is as follows. If you would be able to construct a case where there was no problem of Nesinas Mayim, so then Rav Simcha Bonim Cohen Paskins that you're allowed to make tuna fish with a shinui on Shabbos. Lechatchila. I'm glad that Ramati reminded me about that sefer that I haven't used as much as I would like this year. If you take a look, it's on the second, the third page. The third page, page 154 in Hilchos Shabbos B'Mikbach, the Rav Simcha Bonim Cohen suggests, I'll redo the paragraph. From page 154 going to 155 on the bottom. A thick mixture may be prepared on Shabbos by using a coagulated substance as the binder. And then he says that you would be allowed to do it with a shinui. So here, on the board, Rav Cohen suggests that with Belila Ava, it would be acceptable If you're dealing with mayonnaise, I'm going to explain why mayonnaise shortly. If you're dealing with mayonnaise and you do a shinui in the mixing, this heter does not appear in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And it seems to me that there is a machlokas, halacha lemaisa, whether lichatchila you're allowed to or not. What is the crux of this machlokas? So the bare halacha, Lanias Daiti, is the source for the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. He says that whenever you have a blila ava, he doesn't trust the shinui to say that it's not lisha. Now, we saw a Chazon Ish in Nun Ches Dalid, that the Chazon Ish says that this shinui of Ma'at Ma'at makes it that you didn't do Lash. So the Chazon Ish disagrees with the conclusion of the Be'er Halacha. And the Chazon Ish says that if you're doing a shinui of Ma'at Ma'at, or possibly Shesi V'Ariv as well, then in such a case it's not going to be a problem of Lash. However, the Be'er Halacha disagrees. And if you take a look at Rav Kohn, he then explains, but you'll still have a problem of Nesinas Mayim, right? If you're doing the Nesinas Mayim into Ava, isn't that going to be a problem? And so he says, well, if you have mayonnaise, is it okay if I turn on the air conditioner? If anybody wants to, please let me know. If you have mayonnaise, so then in such a case, mayonnaise doesn't constitute on the sinas mayim, it's not mayim. Hence, he paskins that the halacha would be that it's going to be mutter to put mayonnaise into the tuna and then mix it with a shinui. That's how Rav Kohn paskins. Mati pointed out, well, that what we saw in the Sha'aret Zion and the Mishneh Berurah in Sivkatan Samaches, that he understood, we saw that the Trumas Hadashin said that you needed two shinuyim. Didn't the Trumas Hadashin say that you needed two shinuyim and raka? So Rav Mati pointed out that in Pei Dal in the Sha'aret Zion, why does he say that you're machmir on ava? Because we're choshesh for shitas rebbe in the Nesinas Mayim. So in those Mishneh Berurahs in Sha'aret Zion, if you take care of the problem Nesinas Mayim, so then there's room to argue that it's going to be mutter. Why was the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Machmir, Lanias Daiti? It's because the Be'er Halacha was Choshesh that still a Shinui on a Blila Ava is going to be problematic. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn seems to be going along the lines of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish who says that when it comes to a Shinui, then it's not going to be a Maisalisha. And it comes out that there is a Machlokis Haposkin. Now, I have a very dear Talmud who learns with us in the States. His name is, I gave you his email, so every once in a while he emails me. So, Rav David Bronstein. So he found that Rav David Feinstein in Shailas Uchulas Vishinantam Bam in Chelet Beis, Sinu Kufchaf Alf, was written by one of Rav David Feinstein's Talmidim. That Rav David Feinstein says exactly what we said, Bidas Hashmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that one should not prepare tuna fish on, or egg salad on Shabbos, because of the chash that the shinui is going to be problematic. And so in America, it seems to be machlokes haposkim, whether there's a way to do it lechatchila or not. In Eretz Yisrael, we saw the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is machmir, but here, there's a collector's item. The Archos Shabbos, based on something that Rav Shlomo Zalman told him, is also makel, similar to the exact argument that Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn had. If you take a look, the Archa Shabbos is on the third page of the booklet, the second or third page of the booklet. In many ways, the Archa Shabbos over here, on this one page, summarizes the entire issue. On Yud Ches, I believe it's Perifes in Archa Shabbos, V'kasu Achronim. The Achronim say that you have to be machmir on Av, and that you can't do a mixture of Blila Ava. Haynu dafka b'mashkim ha-mechalchalim k'go mayim v'yayim v'shem v'chomis v'kedoma. Only those items that are considered like mayim. Aval b'dover Av k'go mayonnaise, o shuman, then in such a case, halacha is that it's going to be mutter. Now here it's striking, ha'ara menvav, those who follow or feel connected a little bit to the Masorah of Shlomo Zalman, here is something striking. Menvav, who does he quote this from? no one less than Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, three lines from the bottom. He quotes the Svara from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Why do I say it's striking? Because the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa does not have this, as far as I know. This does not appear in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. But he says, Shamanu, Rav Gelber and Rav Rubin, heard this from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Neuvert does not quote this from them, as well as the fact that he himself, the Archa Shabbos, they themselves, on the page right before your photocopy, in Ha'ara Memhei, he points out that really there's room to be Machmer on Blila Ava in all instances, because the Be'er Halacha is Choshesh, that a Shinui is not going to be enough to be Matir. They themselves quote that Svara as a possibility. They themselves raise that. So what emerges is that there are two camps. One camp is that yes, of course we pass in like the Trumas Hadeshin. But when was a Trumas Hadeshin Machmir that said that you need Blila Raka and a Shinui Nesinas Mayim and a Shinui in the mixing? That's only going to be when we're talking about something that qualifies as Mayim. But the moment in which it's not Mayim like mayonnaise, so then in such a case, then even with the Blila Ava with a Shinui, that's going to be Mutter. And that's going to be in the world of whom? That's going to be in the world of the Chazon Ish and others. However, according to the Be'er Halacha, it could be the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa was never machmeran mekel on tuna because you have the chshash that the shinui is not going to work for blila ava, and therefore the halacha is that one should be machmer in all instances lechatchila before mixing the tuna. Rav Nemetzal Shlita this morning told me that he thinks that one should follow Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. He was not familiar, per se, from this Svar of Rav Shlomo Zalman, which is interesting, because again, it's not in the Shmir Shabbos. Rav Nemetzal doesn't have it either, but it's definitely a very sharp Svara. But you can need one more leap and to say that the Shinui is going to be enough to be Matir. Yes, Rav Daniel.
So, just to be clear, so the mayonnaise or any substance that's not the chalchalim,
correct,
not considered, no zel, is considered like a solid. So you're mixing two solids together.
It's not really a solid because it's a binding force. Remember, we said that it needs to be a binding force. If it's not going to be a binding on the ochel, then so it's neither really nozel, but it accomplishes what lush is supposed to accomplish by binding together the tuna, and therefore it's going to be us. Okay, so that is issue number one that emerges from this Be'er Halacha, and seems like both the poskim in America, as well as the poskim in Eretz Yisrael, both have a diun as far as whether it's going to be mutter. And then you just put together everything we discussed previously. But this was another hosaf upon hosaf. Was a hand? Okay. If you go on in the Be'er Halacha, he raises another important issue. And this is the issue of what we would describe as Ein Lisha Achar Lisha. In other words, the Be'er Halacha has taught us in his Teretz that when it comes to something that's already lush, there's no problem to be lush it more. In such a case, it's not going to be problematic. Let's see his words inside. But after Gam, just continuing on where we left off. But after Gam b'shesisu shiraka tzar shinu litan ochot chila, Hasam shani dimarv kemach b'mayim. L'chein af kishi rak adam alisha. Aval b'zeh hu lehipuch. Alidei amichu b'mayim hu mafrid es hachalakim. In the end of the day, you are separating the pieces, and then in such a case, then it's going to be mutter. Because if you're not doing anything more of being medabek them together, in such a case, that would be acceptable. Now, the Dirshu quotes on this Be'er Halacha a very important question in terms of Halacha Lemaisa from Rabbi Tzion Abba Sholem, the Or Litzion, Chelek Beis Os Lamed Dalid. And as well, you have a little bit of that discussion in the Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, Perik Yugimel, pages Siman Seifim, Tezvav and Tezayin, where they discuss what happens if in the act of making the item, you're not really being midabek the item together, but it's already gone through the process of lush, and you're just simply continuing adding more water. You're not adding, you're not doing anything that's part of the process of lush. So over here, the Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos points out that if you've already done a Nesinas Mayim into the mixture already has a Nesinas Mayim, and in your lush, you're not causing it to be more attached to each other, it's already been attached, so then in such a case, there's room to argue that there's no problem of lush. What's an example of that? So the Or Litzion has an interesting heter. What about making tchina on Shabbos? So at first glance, you would have thought, in Israel, they have a powdered tchina. It's mashed into powder. And then you add water, to it. So when you add water to the tchina and you make it into tchina, so then in such a case, are you doing the same process of kneading a dough when you have water that's brought with flour and the flour is being more attached to each other, or the opposite is taking place? What you're doing is separating the granula from each other, leaving aside whether it's blila ava or blila raka, simply because you're adding water and it's in of itself, it's not being joined together. It's being separated from each other. It's being spread out and not being joined together. So then in such a case, it could very well be that it's going to be mutter. So if you take a look, in the Dirshu, they quote, as Rabbi Tzion Abishola is saying, that there's a lot of room to be makil in that case, combined with the fact that often in the tchina, it had already been mashed before. The tchina had been mashed before, and its own juice had come out, and the process of lush had already taken place, and there's room to argue ein lisha achar lisha. So there are really two svaras that are dancing around over here from this bare halacha. One svara is that if you already did lisha on the item, so then in such a case it wouldn't be a problem of lisha because of ein lisha achar lisha. And the other is that if the lisha that you're doing is causing the item to separate as opposed to coagulate, so then in such a case it's going to be mutter. So if you take a look in the Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa in Ches Chav Beis, that's towards the end of our booklet, take a look at Ches Chav Beis. We have the following psak. Mutter lahatfil divrei ma'afa b'mashke. You're allowed to dip a baked item into a drink. Gamma mucham im amnam nimtze b'kli shlishi. As long as it's a kli shlishi, so there's no problem with bishul. Afa b'sha ma'afa asa lihi moach. Even though that baked item is going to separate, shekein eina mashke losh kis divrei ma'afa el merachech. Now that is a simpler heter. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchos says heter. Based on what we saw from the Chazon Ish, and based on what we saw from the Be'er Halacha, that in a case, you're allowed to put baked items into water, even if it's going to stay relatively thick. But there's no problem of lush, because it's not binding it together, it's actually separating it. So the moment in which you're separating, you're not going to have a problem of lush. Whether you say the same thing of tchina, that's a little bit of a bigger chiddush. To say that by tchina as well, you're not really binding it, that's a little bit, that's Rabbi Tzion Abishol's chiddush. At the end of the day, it would seem to me that l'chatchila, one should be machmir for that. I think even Rav Rimon is machmir in that regard. But if it's clear to you that the leisha in that case is one in which it's separating, or the leisha has already been done, then in such a case, we have two yisodos, aleph, ein leisha achar leisha, and beis is that leisha is midabeg and not mefareg. The moment in which it's mefareg, so then in such a case, it's not going to qualify as lush. Yes, Rabbi Yaakov.
If we have powder, isn't that separate granules, and then you put water into it, you're bringing everything together to become one?
So it really depends on the powder. It depends on the powder that we're dealing with. When we're dealing with a powder like tchina, so then there's no binding that's taking place, Reuven Tzion Abishol argues. In contrast to, let's take again the classic case, you mix flour and water together, then it's clear that it binds it together.
What's the difference between separate granules that are.
The mitzius, what type of compound is being created? I'll give you another example of where, if you poured water onto sugar, it would seem to me that pouring water onto sugar also is not going to be considered lush, because there the pieces don't become attached; they're not being attached to each other. That's la halacha v'lo l'maisa, la ayin v'lo l'maisa. It would seem to me that there's room to argue that in such a case that would not qualify in lush. In contrast to oatmeal, so then in such a case there it becomes a compound that's attached. Maybe a little better than sugar, a clear example would be salt. Salt, is even clearer that they're not becoming attached to each other. But I'm not as familiar with making tchina. Most of us Americans are not familiar with this type of tchina. But that's what the argument. That's how the argument goes. Yeah.
Shouldn't it depend on how much water you put in? Like, no. If there's a big chunk of sugar and you put in a little bit of water, so then it kind of.
But it, does it really? Does it bind? Does it bind them together? Does it attach them together?
It becomes a mush.
It becomes a mush.
But
so
more
it could
water
be
immediately.
Also, right. It could be. It's not dependent. Again, that's not lemaisa. I'm not saying lemaisa to be megdol. But I'm saying it's something to think about. Ad kedekach. How far this svara. How far the svara goes. Okay. Just an important point that we already saw before, and that is that if the item is already in number 14, we'll skip 13, we'll come back to 13 at the end. Number 14 on the cover sheet, if you have something that's mavushal, so then we pointed out there are many sheetas that could be makel in regards to lush that we already mentioned on the first shir, that we saw also in the psak of the mechaber in Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yud Tes, that was based on Tshuvas HaRambam, and that was the idea of Tikkun HaOchel. Chazon Ish, by the way, asks on the Be'er Halacha, that heter of Tikkun HaOchel. I thought it wasn't such a, that one could be Miyashev, the Mishnah Brura. He asks from Matzah Tchuna, that we see Matzah Tchuna, there by Matzah Tchuna, it's already an Ochel, and there we know the Taz was Oser. I think you could be metaritz and say there's a difference between keli, which is a food, which is eaten as a food, versus matzah tchuna, that by grinding it down, so then it reverts back to its original state. So maybe we could defend the Be'er Halacha in this regard. Now we're going through sort of a list of other issues at the end of the sugya. In regards to la'alter, the poskim spell out, it's quite obvious, that even though we had the heter of la'alter by Borer with two other conditions, even though we had a Rajba that said tochen la'alter is going to be mutter, the poskim spell out that lisha la'alter, ruba deruba poskim are all machmir, that there isn't going to be a heter of la'alter. That's sort of a given by all the poskim. However, Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal had quite a whopper of a chidush. In Perek Ches, on that page, in Si'if Aleph, in Ha'ara Yud, all the way to the second to last page in the booklet, Rav Neuvert quotes the following whopper of a chiddush from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that Rav Nevenzel told me that Rav Shlomo Zalman said it, then one could rely on it l'maisa. And that is, he says, the Yitachin, two lines from the bottom on the first page of Lush in the older edition, the Yitachin delisha d'oraisa hu dafke b'lush yei roi l'efos oshem itakein oto. V'yochol itkayim kach kelisha tzchardel. The only time you have an Isser of Lush, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you always see is a time in which you're processing the food along to a completion of the food item. However, we've seen that if it's not coming along the process of baking bread or improving the food, so then in such a case it's mutter. Mashal Ma'adar V'Domer, we saw in the Be'er Halacha, by Tikkun HaOchel, that we just made reference to over here. Comes along Rav Shlomo Zalman and he says, if you're making a mixture for a child, for example, you're making a powdered milk dish, that the derech is to eat it, asher derech achiloso ach v'rak l'idei lisha, that the only way you eat it is through lisha, ve'enos en klal lisha zo elekadei lecha la'alter, and you only do it to eat immediately, yitachen the karish rak b'shem tikkun ma'achol v'lo lush. He says that would also qualify as tikkun ochol, not lush. This is a massive heter. In other words, Rav Shlomo Zalman starts off, Rav Neuvert starts off, that we pasken lisha la'alter is Aser. That even though there was some who weighed the possibility of the hefter lisha alter, no, lisha alter is not mutter. But if you're going to do it in a manner in which the result is that you're going to eat it immediately, because that's how it's always done. That's how this, that you always, when you make the avak cholav, you always drink it immediately. So then that would be considered derech achilaso, not la'alter per se, but a heter of derech achilaso, because that item is never then furthered to baking or anything like that. It's always immediately eaten. So then he says you would have the heter of tikkun ha'ochas. This is a massive heter. I think there are many that, in the Kitzer books, I don't think there are many that quote this heter. One should know that it exists in preparing food for children. And Rav Neman Zal Shlita told me that one could follow la halacha if, but one tonight. We were walking at the time, so I didn't have the photocopy in front of me. But he said that if Rav Shlomo Zalman said it la halacha, then it could be followed la halacha. So I said to him I wanted to read him the lashon, and thought it was la halacha, but then I didn't have the opportunity to do. So that's the bottom line that one should know, that Rav Shlomo Zalman was making. Yeah.
I don't see how that's different from preparing the tuna fish. The tuna fish also you don't do anything before.
There are a few potential differences. First of all, generally a baby food that's made, it's best to stay in the powder up until the milk is added to it. And people generally don't put it into the fridge. It's generally made on the spot, like maraskin lefnei zakenim. That's how it's generally done. It's generally prepared immediately and given to the child. But you're right, in the sense that, you know, where do you draw the line? Does it need to be that 90% it's eaten right away, 80% of the time it's eaten right away, and so on? Tuna, a lot of times you'll put it into the.
Okay, now I misunderstood. I thought you were saying right away means there's no further processing, no further baking or things like that.
He says both. Rav Shlomo Zalman says two things. If you take a look inside the photocopy, he says two things. Okay. So we have this heter of derech achila. The Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa mentions it. Rav Nissim Karelitz does not like it. From the Chazon Ish, Nun Ches Dalid, it's debatable whether the Chazon Ish likes it, but Rav Shlomo Zalman was meikel. A couple more points. This one gets us back to a little bit of fascinating iyun. There is a fascinating psak in Shin Mem, Sif Yud Beis, that the Prima Gadim points out breaks all rules that we've had up until now. And the Prima Gadim asks it as a kasha. Shin Mem Yud Beis, the Mechaber gives us the following psak. Here, we're going to have an interesting chumrah that some of you might not have thought of. I didn't think of. In fact, it was staring me in the face, and I still didn't realize it. But Ben asked me about a psak from Ramosha Feinstein, and I couldn't figure out where Ramosha was coming from. So now with this, I believe, this is my theory, that either way, it's a Prima Gadim, whether it's Ramosha or not, it's a Prima Gadim that one should be aware of. And our Simcha Bonu Kam does a good job. He quotes this. Shin Mem Yud Beis, the Mechaber says as follows. Hanosin Zera Pishtan. If someone puts flax, or shumshmin, or sesame seed, or piyotzibem mamayim, you put them in water. Chayiv mishum lush. You're chayiv for lush. Mipneishim is arvim nislam zavazah. Okay. So we know that there are shitas that hold that nesina samayim is going to be an iser of lush. And the Mechaber Paskins that the Pishtan coagulates, and since they coagulate, you have a problem of lush. So let's take a look at the Prima Gadim Bayas. Let's see if we could find this Prima Gadim. Shin Chaf Aleph, I think Yud Beis in the Mishpatzosav. Fragte Hela the Prima Gadim. Os Yud Beis. Uba Ola Shabbos Hiksha. In my edition, it's about 7 or 8 lines into the Prima Gadim. Ba'ola Shabbos Hiksha, Amash Yekosav Arambam. This is a Rambam. Va'amai, Pasuk Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Dinesinas Mayim Potter. The source of this halacha is a Rambam. Okay, fine. But the Rambam Paskins, what's the Yisur of Losh Rabbosai according to Rambam? Nesinas Besinas Mayim. Frek the Prima Gadin. How come the Psak is that's Aser Min HaTorah? If here in Shin Mem it says that by putting the water in, automatically you're going to be over. Wait a second, you're not over Isser Doraisa with the Sinas Mayim. If this was Rebbe, I hear it. If this was a Sefer HaTrumas, I hear it. But the Mechaber didn't pass in that way, and the Rambam didn't pass in that way. That's the Prima Gadin's Kasha. It's a nice Kasha, no? Absolutely. The Prima Gadin asks, at the end of the day, when it comes to the Psak in Shin Mem, by putting the flax in the water and it coagulates immediately, it's an Isur Doraisa. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam both paskin that the Isur Doraisa of Lush is when you mix it with the Lisha, like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, not like Shitas Rabbi. That's the Prima Gadin Miskasha. And then he says, Ulukhora Kushi Chazaki, the Ola Shabbos asks the Kasha. Ve'efshar zera pishton hadibuk bu yochol likach biyado v'nasis gush chayv mishum losh. Ma she'en kein bekemach maim kolzman de lo losh ein dubuk ola yofa. Answers the Prima Gadin that there's a difference between when you add water to flour versus to when you add water to flax. When you add water to flax and you let it sit for a short period of time, it will reach its culminated stage of becoming a mixed compound. You will get the guk exactly the way you want the guk without having to mix it. In contrast to when you or your wife makes challah, so then when you put the water into the dough, you have to mix it. You have to mix it. Two different stages. V'amevin yavin, this works beautifully with what we had seen from the Egle Tal. That the Egle Tal says that the Shita of Rebbe is that one Isser is putting two things together without mixing them, and then there's a new Isser when you're mixing them. So it's not in the Maisin Nesinas Mayim that you have the Isser per se. It's not Nesinas Mayim that's the Isser, or the Gibel that's the Isser. It's the phenomenon. So argues the Prima Gadin quite a chiddush. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, there are times you're going to be chayv Nesinas Mayim. Why? Because when it comes to Nesinas Mayim, there generally the Isser is to have a conjunction. Two things, flour and water. And according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, how did the Egle Tal explain what the Isser was? To create a compound. What happens if you create a compound with Nesinas Mayim? What's the halacha going to be? Comes along the Prima Gadin, he's Mechadesh. So then that's also going to be Chayav according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. That's going to be the Yisr Doraisa according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Geshmak Keteretz. In fact, just dawned on me that I want to go back to Rav Nevinzel based on this and say, according to Egle Tal, you have a Geshmak Keteretz. How's Rebbe going to learn this halacha? Okay, we point out that Rav Nevinzel had questions on the Egle Tal, but the Egle Tal now is actually very glorious within this. In this pshat, just dawned on me right now. But anyhow, that's the Prima Gadin's Mahalach. So far, so good, Rebbe Osai. That's the Yisod. It's a brilliant Yisod. Yes.
So I'm pointing out this is almost like the exact opposite of what we're talking about: the game of share, putting on mayonnaise and nothing happening.
Exactly. It's a fascinating way. Mir Tzashem, when you teach it to your Talmidim Baal Batim, you'll build it that way. That's the. There's always new angles, especially a sugya like this. How do you build the sugya? There's so many different ways you could build a sugya. Ein echanami. It's a nice ha'ar. So comes along with Simcha Bunim Kohen, and he adds a chumra for us based on this Prima Gadin. And I think there are others who have this chumra as well. I think there are others who have it. Oh yeah, I think that's Abshan or Moshe Feinstein. Comes along with Simcha Bunim Kohen, and he says, therefore, if there are foods that when you add the water in, they immediately coagulate. So then in such a case, you have to be extremely careful that you add a tremendous amount of water at once. So that becomes blila raka. But if you don't flood it with water, so then it's going to be a problem. Because there you already have, if you don't need a gibul with the Nesinas Mayim, so then in such a case, you're going to be over with the Nesinas Mayim. Let me just add a little bit of background. The Chazon Ish asks, every single time you have a Nesinas Mayim for Blila Raka, always the initial stage is going to be Blila Ava. That's what the Chazon Ish asks. And he answers that if you use one pour, then in such a case it's going to be blila raka. Fine. But what happens if you have something that doesn't need a gibul at all? It doesn't need a gibul at all. So it's true, we pass him like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Meikar Tadina. But if this item has already been migubal and it doesn't need any type of mixing, so then you're going to have a problem that you've done the gibul right away, unless you add a tremendous amount of water. So doing is simply a change of the Nesinas Mayim might not even be enough, because at the end of the day, you've done the gibul's taken place, and that you have a shayla of a doraisa. So that you could be mefalpa whether a change of order is going to be enough or not. But at the end of the day, you have a problem of a doraisa. According to many, changing of order is not going to work. Rav Ben asked me a great kasha on a psak on Rav Moshe Feinstein, and now we can understand Rav Moshe's psak. It's Mukhrach Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn Shlita understood it this way. If you take a look, Rav Moshe's psak is in the booklet after the Chazon Ish. Igris Moshe, Dalet Ayin Dalet, Lush, Os Zayin. Rav Moshe's asked the following kasha. Ha'im muter lahachin tamchit tapuche adama ma'avakan emutnisa. Are you allowed to make instant potato or pudding? Are you allowed to make them? So Rav Ben pointed out to me that Rav Moshe's response was a little strange. Rav Moshe's response is, Avka nimasa shel tepuche adama asur b'chol ofen. He says, instant potatoes is always asur. And then he says, instant pudding, it depends on whether it's blil rak or blil ava. So Rav Ben asked me a great kasha. He said, at the end of the day, blil rak is mutter, with shinuyim. Why didn't Rav Moshe say blil rak? So I'll tell you what I think is pshat and Ramosha's pshat. Ramosha over here is based on this prima donna. And Ramosha, and I think it might work in the Metzius. I mamish thought that Ramosha was lavdafka. Ramosha was already older. You know, you have the pshutei ha'am, people who are not holding their, when there's something that seems strange, Ramosha's pshat, they'll say, ah, no, it turns out that it's us who didn't understand. So the answer over here is, the reason why Rav Moshe says that instant pudding is always aser, I think, is because Rav Moshe was choshesh, instant potato is always going to be aser, instant potato is going to be aser. The moment you put the water in, it doesn't really need much of a gibel afterwards. In contrast to the pudding, so then it would need a little bit more of a gibel. Hence, Rav Moshe gives this psak. If you take a look at Rav Simcha Bun Kon, it's almost kemat mukhrach that he understood it that way. Either way, that might be the pshat and Rav Moshe. Whether that's the pshat or not the pshat and Rav Moshe Feinstein, many poskim say that you have to be careful for this. And therefore, this comes up in a case that we spoke about last week, and that is the oatmeal the way I liked it versus the way my brother liked it, right? So a thick oatmeal is going to have a problem. We mentioned that's blila ava, right? Blila ava is going to be a problem. So, first of all, according to some poskim we saw today, that blila ava with a shinu is going to be mutter, according to the Chazon Ish, and we saw the Orcha Shabbos quoting Rav Shlomo Zalman. There are times that blila ava is going to be mutter, not lechatchila because the oatmeal we haven't seen this month, but in the case of a tuna and so on, there are cases that it's going to be mutter. In a case of where you're making an oatmeal, you're going to have to be careful with those oatmeals that don't need any type of gibul, that the Nesinas HaMayim, the moment that you have the Nesinas HaMayim, you might have already done all the necessary gibul. Okay? So, therefore, one should be careful when it comes to a thick oatmeal to always do a blila raka. Always do a blila raka. Because even if you're not going to do any gibul, you're not going to do any gibul, even possibly if you do a shinui in the Nesinas HaMayim, at the end of the day, if you've created a gibul, then in such a case it would be problematic. Hence, Rav Simcha Bonim Kohen Paskins, that one should be in a, it's mistaber, that when it comes to oatmeal, leaving aside what we had discussed, that there are times that poskim are makel, some poskim are makel and blila ava, when it comes to oatmeal, in such a case, one should be machmir. Okay, we have two more small issues. Yes?
I don't understand still if it was a blila raka, then why would this whole make a difference?
So I think what Rav Moshe was concerned about is the only way people make instant potatoes the only way they make instant potatoes is a way in which the moment in which the water hits the potato, it automatically becomes migubal. And to make it blue laraka, no one's ever going to eat it that way. So in the two assumptions in Ramosha's Chumrah.
Okay. So we're still, so like the Yeshivish mashed potatoes, we're not sure how, what we're going to say about that.
It would seem to me that where Moshe is assuming that even the yeshivish mashed potatoes at the end of the day is not a real raka.
Depends
what yeshivish. What's that?
What are yeshivish mashed potatoes?
What Ben means is that they put more water than they do the powder.
Oh.
You should know that he shouldn't have to live like my grandfather did. My grandfather, Al Vashon, said that when he went away to learn, he didn't go to learn in yeshiva. He wasn't quote unquote lucky. His father had learned in yeshiva. My grandfather wasn't able to learn yeshiva, but he went away to learn. They probably couldn't afford to, but they would go. The Hasidim would go, and they would go to another town, so they'd be away from home and all the distractions from home, and they would learn in the shtiblach. So my grandfather slept on the bench, and all they had was food, was leftovers that Balabatim would bring them. That was the extent of their food. One more anecdote from that period is that my grandfather told my father that there was one they used to eat. This is well known in all yeshivas, until Chachmei Lublin. Almost in all the yeshivas, the boys used to eat teg. Teg meant that they would try to get a meal to eat by somebody. So my grandfather said he had one decent meal the whole week, and then the Rosh Yeshiva of the Shtiebel came over to my grandfather, and he suggested to him not to go eat that one decent meal he had all week. He said because the children of the people that he was going to were slowly becoming maskilim. And he was afraid, he suggested to my grandfather, he was afraid that they were going to have a negative influence on him. So my grandfather was left with no good meals. Why do I mention that now? My son tells me, here in Eretz Yisrael in Yeshiva, that my son goes to a beautiful yeshiva, but the boys, the amount of protein that they get is not a lot. It's not a lot. And I asked him how he sustains himself. So he said it's basically bread, and there's only a very circumscribed amount of protein here in the year Tavshinayin Tes, and it's not considered the poorest yeshiva around. And he doesn't complain. But to this day there are still. His father didn't do this, but there are to this day people who are on some level are being mekayim pasma melech tochel. So hence the yeshivish instant pudding from what my son tells me from yeshiva still exists. He says he doesn't fill himself up, and protein is not enough protein. But if they find other things, he said they have as much bread and cucumbers that they need. That's what he fills himself up on, bread and cucumbers. Baruch Hashem, he's continuing in the derech, not the derech of his father, but his great-great-grandfather. Okay. But just to realize that in Eretz Yisrael, there was once a debate, we once had in our house a beautiful fellow who was a Marine. There's a shtickle bittel from our learning, but you know, I think these things need to be said at some time. There's a fellow who was an American Marine who barely knew he was Jewish. He served in Iraq. I made a mistake, and I said to him, what was the worst thing you saw in Iraq? And he looked me in the eye and said, Rabbi, there are certain things you don't ask a soldier. He was mamish, a professional soldier, and he decided he's Jewish, and he's going to be a Jewish soldier. And he came to Eretz Yisrael, he made Aliyah. Barely knew anything. He was sitting in my living room, and I had a yeshiva bachar sitting in my living room. And they began to fight with each other. Why you don't go to the army? Why this? Why that? And I said to Yeshiva Bachar, could you garner inside of yourself respect for this man who barely knew he was Jewish but knew he's a soldier and he wants to be a soldier in the Jewish army? And I said to the soldier, could you garner up a little bit of respect that I know that there are people in Kiryat Sefer who measure out for their children to this day, in the year Tavshinayin Tes, that measure out milk for their children because they don't have enough, because their father is Moser Nefesh to sit and learn. There can't be that tremendous respect for both of the sides. But But sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves. You know, what is it about? It's about Berkovich versus Leon. There's so much more that's at play, and that there really are yeshiva bachrim and avrich, and they're being moser nefesh to sit and learn, and they're really soldiers and mitnachlim that are being moser nefesh that we should be in Eretz Yisrael. Why can't both sides find inside of themselves the tremendous love and respect for both studying? Okay, I'm sorry, that's all opened up with thinking about people who are moser nefesh. So that's the yeshivisha pudding. So the yeshivisha potatoes, the halacha would be that one would still have to be careful that at the initial stage that one creates a gibel, and that would be a chash. Okay, a couple more topics. Ramesha in those tshuvas deals with a wild chiddush of the Avnei Nezer that is rejected. I just mentioned my great grandfather. I don't know if in the shtibel they would be very happy what I'm about to say. But the Avnei Nezer in Simen Kuf Chavav has a wild chiddush where he argues that just like we have a rule of Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka, we also have a rule Ein Lisha Ela B'Gedulei Karka. And so the Avnei Nezer suggests that idea. And Ramosha, in the next tshuva, Osches, it happens to be, it wasn't because of the next tshuva, I thought the way of building this would be that correct to do that next. But in the next tshuva, Ramosha says that the Farishah Gemara seems to be against that. Because Rashi and Ayin Dalet on the base talks about Ovid Chavisa, someone who makes a barrel from the beginning to end, you'll be over on seven chatos, the Gemara and Daf Ayin Dalet says. And Rashi there says that being Megabal Tid is Chayav Mishom Lush. So when you do the Gibel, you're going to be Chayav Lush. So it seems to be black and white that there is Lisha of the Gedulei Karka. Every once in a while, you hear a posek mention the sheet of Ein Lisha of the Gedulei Karka. Ramosha Mamish rejects it. I don't know how the Avnei Nezer is going to answer it. The Avnei Nezer takes it as a Dover Pashut. It was something that he had said in Shir that one of his Talmidim had asked him and writes to him, so it's not a full discussion of the sukkah. If anybody finds a good yeesh of the Avnei Nezer, new shas, more than anybody. So I'm sure the Avnei Nezer knows the Rashi. I don't know how the Avnei Nezer is going to be Miyashi, the Farish Rashi, or Moshe rejects it. Poskim will throw it out because there were big people who mentioned it, but Tzarech Yuen, how you could be Selmechan, when we have a Farish Rashi, it's against it. And Afar is not considered Gedulei Karka. Afar is something that Gedulei Karka means literally to grow from the ground. So Tzarech Yun Gadol, how he's going to be able to be Yashi Yisrael.
Would both ingredients have to be Gedulei Karka, or at least one of them has to be Gedulei Karka?
According to the Avnei Nezer, I would imagine. I imagine the food itself needs to be
not the
water is not Gedulei Karka. Right, it's not Gedulei Karka. I would imagine that was his kiddush. Correct.
Ramosha
says it's wrong based on the Rashi. Again, when Ramosha says an Avnei Nezer is wrong, I don't think Ramosha thinks that the Avnei Nezer was just missed the Beferish Rashi. But again, if anybody has some hesber to that shita, I'd be interested. Finally, last topic is the shinui. As far as the shinui is concerned, I mentioned to you that a shinui, according to Ramosha, I mentioned this the previous year, that Ramosha holds that the back of a spoon would also be an acceptable shinui, and so on. So Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen, on the first page in our booklet, has a sharp ha'ara. He claims, although it seems to be, to me, against the pashtus of Ramosha, he defends the position of the Chazon Ish that I mentioned last time, that says that the shinui has to be with either one's finger, when it comes to a thick mixture. And if it's not going to be a finger, then it needs to be the b'shesi v'arev. To simply use the back of a handle, a spoon or a fork, on blila ava, in the cases that blila ava are mutter, he argues strongly that that would not be acceptable. The only ha'ara that I have is that, A, the Chazon Ish, it seems, would agree with that. But at the same time, he points out that Ramosha was only talking about those cases that are Isurei Derabanan. So that's not so clear. If you look back in Ramosha's tshuva, whether that's clear that Ramosha held that by Isurei Derabanan only you could use the back of a knife. But if you're going to be dealing with an Isur D'Oraisa, then a back of a knife would not be acceptable. That's debatable within Ramosha Feinstein. But I would suggest considering all of the chashos that we've mentioned, in a case of where a person is relying on the matirim to do a shesi va'arev or to do a shinui with a blila ava, that one follow Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn's direction. And that is that the only heter being either to use a finger, and he even, Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn says, even a finger with a glove, without a glove, excuse me, like we had seen from the Chazon Ish, or to do mamish shesi va'arev. But anything less than that on a blila ava, I would highly recommend not to. And Rav Nevenzal recommends to follow the psak of the Shemir Shabbos Gilchasa, and that is to never do Belila Ava. But we did see, thanks to the Avrichim, we did see that there is another Mahalach. Okay, so B'siyata D'Shmaya, what we did today was we saw the Be'er Halacha, Schiddush in regards to Ein Lisha Achar Lisha, and we saw what emerges from the Be'er Halacha and his Chumra in regards to Belila Ava, in contrast to the Shita of the Chazon Ish. We spoke about, reviewed the concept of Dar Mavushal as being Tikkun Ochel, and then we spoke about Lisha La'alter, the Heter of Shlomo Zalman. The Heter of Shlomo Zalman as well, in terms of Derech Achila, that would be Mutter. And then we saw the fascinating Chumrah of the Prima Gadim, that says the moment in which you put the water in, so then in such a case, those items that don't require Gibel is going to be Aser. And we said that Ein Dishel B'Gdule Karka is a suggestion of the Amin Nezu, we don't paskin. And as far as Shinui is concerned, we saw that the Shinui of the Kasa, the Sakin, even though it will be acceptable in regards to Tochen and other things, Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn suggests that one should not use it on the Surah Deraisa that we had spoken about in the beginning part of the year. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, Monday, we're starting Shihia and Hachzara. You already have Mar Makomos for that. I think that will probably be for a couple of weeks that we'll be on Simon Reish and Gimel. We'll do Shia, Hachzara, and Hatmana. Rabbi Zion asked me in regards to the order of things. I just felt that based on the timing and different things in the schedule, that we would do that and then Bishul. You don't have to know a lot of Hilchos Bishul for the Xeros of Shia and Hatzara, although there are halachos of Bishul that come up. As they come up, we'll be mefarate them. But you really don't feel a lachatz that you haven't gone through Hilchos Bishul. Shihi and Abzara is hard to learn. It's hard to learn. Just a couple of points about preparing for it. It's one of those types of limudim, in contrast to, let's say, tochen. So you have tochen, you have a bunch of rules, and you pound out the rules, and you work, and you pound out the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah particularly is difficult in Shihi and Abzara because the Mechaber throws in a lot of different details along the way, and we're not introduced to it in a conceptual fashion. So I would suggest that you find some Sifrei Ezer to learn along with when you're doing the Mishnah Berurah to be able to be conceptually introduced to it. So one of the Svarim that I find are excellent, that's excellent from the old school, was Yisodei Halacha, is an excellent Sefer. Of course, you have Rav Rimon on Shihi and Hatzara, you have the Archos Shabbos, and of course you have the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, and Rabbi Ribiak. Rabbi Ribiak Sefer is very helpful because, like Rav Rimon, they're more conceptual. In contrast, let's say the Shabbos Kishon that we quote a lot from today, Rav Cohen, he's less conceptual. He just more introduces you to the halachos. So as you're starting off, I would encourage you to use the svarim that are a little bit more, introduce you to the concepts, and then get to the dinim versus jumping straight to the dinim without understanding where the concepts are coming from. We'll try on Monday to introduce us to the basic terms, basic concepts, and then b'siyata d'shmaya get to the halacha l'maaseh. One more scheduling thing. You can turn off the recorders. Anybody here who is planning to do Chinuch HaBanim, they or their wives with me tonight, who